So I'll begin reading at verse 24, and I'll bring this thing and try to show us some things. And I got some things that's kind of strained a little bit that I want to explain, but if I explain it well, hopefully you can see it, because I want to compare Eleazar to the Holy Spirit, and I want to go back, if this is Eleazar, because I call him Eleazar, the servant, also to Christ. So I got some work to do. And the quickest way to get work started is to do it. Verse 1, chapter 24 says, "And Abram was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." Just want to touch on that just a little bit. The man was old, and because he was willing to go through whatever God brought his way, and because he was willing to be steadfast and unmovable, in spite of the times when he failed, in spite of the times when he didn't understand God, the word of God said God blessed him in all things that we know according to the scripture were not favorable in Abraham's sight. Am I right? Was it favorable for his wife to be gone? No. Was it favorable for her to be with Abimelech? No. Was it favorable for Lot, herdmen, for him and his herdmen to act up? No. Was it favorable for him to see Sodom destroyed? He did not want to see that. And the scripture said he blessed him in all things. And Abram said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Swear to me, swear by the Lord thy God, the God of heaven and earth, that thou shalt not take a wife of my son, of the daughters of the Canaanites where you dwell." And we've gone through this, and we've talked about this, and I think that ought to be enough to bring us up to speed that he went and he followed the man who had been blessed all his life, the man whose God's hand was on, the man that God had given him a covenant by. What I mean by that, the man that has been blessed got a covenant with the servant, and the servant is told, "Don't take a wife out of just any place for my son." So how did this man fare? Let's go to verse 10 and see what happens. Verse 10 says, "And the servant took 10 of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master was in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor." I submit to you that we need to pay focus or attention that this man has a plethora. Let's take another word. This man has a bounty of merchandise and things from the man who had the blessing. I would wait till the end and make my connect, but I don't want to do that to you. I submit to you that when the Holy Spirit is looking for someone to be the bride of Christ, he comes fully loaded with what's necessary for the individual to realize that he is representing the Father God, who has all blessings tied up in his hands. When I speak of his hand, I'm speaking figuratively of his power. And it says, "And he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down." Now, I was reading that in some of the eastern countries like that, they teach the camels when they're young how to kneel down so that they can rest. I guess if it's gone a whole lot of years, it's hard to teach an old camel how to kneel down. And it says, so that would actually show to those people that this man's camel has been trained. It says, "They kneeled down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening when women go out to draw water." That kind of bothered me, because I realized in the Samaria, when the woman went out to draw water, it was a different time. But I did not know that often they went out twice a day to go and draw water. Understand, this man has come to the place where they go to draw water. And he's going on a mission to secure a bride for Abraham's son so a destiny can be secured. Abraham has seen his son come to pass, but he has not seen a grandson. And he knows in order to have a grandson, he needs a wife. He sends this person, and this person is out going to get a wife. Notice he didn't go to a brothel. Notice he didn't go to whatever place where people hung out and played and did whatever folly was being done then. Don't think they weren't folly back then. We're talking about people that served other gods. They had much folly. had much many religious centers, but he went out to where the industrious women would be. I don't think that's accidental. Read on, Tim. It says, and he made his camels kneel down without the city by a well of water at that time of the evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he says, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city, the daughters of the men of the city, come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I say, let down that pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink. And I will give thy camels drink also. Let it be the same. She that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. My father's sitting back there. Your son is sitting here. My mother's there. Different ones here have different relationships with parents. They have different relationships with children and siblings. No doubt there are people that work with us, and there may be someone under us. Would to God that the time would come that we have lived a life in such a way, or God's hand has been on us in such magnitude, that somebody could pray and say, to the God of Billy, to the God of Dree, to the God of whatever, I don't really know you for myself. I don't have the dealings with you. Or even if I do have dealings, in behalf of the person that I'm trying to do something for that wants me to do it because they love you, Lord, because they're in relationship with you, Lord, I ask you, on the strength of their name, that you would answer my request. You know, there's something when someone's sick and someone has problems. Would to God that if it's one of us, we've lived a life in such a way that as we pray, Lord, I ask you on behalf of who they are. I ask you on behalf of how you've dealt in their lives. I may not be, or I may be, but look at them too and consider answering the prayer. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Bible says that Jesus said he won't come in his own name. He'll come in my name. When Jesus came, Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. Jesus said that he was a servant to the Father. If you don't believe it, Philippians chapter 2 tells you, though being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant. Many of us in this culture have not learned what servanthood is. Sometimes it's a thankless job. But it depends on who you're doing the service for. If you're doing it for people, it can be thankless. But if you have elevated your service to the place that you are doing it for the one that is the most gracious, the one that is the most beneficent, to the one that truly has the ability to take care of all of your needs, then you can be loyal. But people are fickle. You decide just to be a servant of a person, you can be disappointed. Well, this man prays and he asks God on the behalf of Abraham to let this mission be successful. And I don't know who she is. I've come to a place where the women draw. And this is the place where I think that it might be. And based on what Abraham had said, I believe, Abraham said God would send his angel before him. Didn't he say it? Do you all remember we went through that and he said it? And if that's the case, the man went out and didn't say, okay, angel, pick her. I'll stand here when you bring her to me. I'll take her back. But the man still used his sense of reasoning and he asked for something that I think that anybody that listens to this message ought to understand about picking a mate. Let me find someone that's industrious. Let me find someone that's a servant. Let me find someone that's gracious. Let me find someone that is kind. Do you realize kindness goes a long way in a marriage? To everybody that's married here. To everybody that has a relative here. If we called you out name by name and I were to ask you, would your relative, the one that's closest to you, your wife, your children, your husband, say that you're kind? Could they say you were kind? Could they say that you're industrious? Could they say that you're willing to serve them? Are you the one that has to always be served? Because if you are, you're not the greatest. You're pretty much no more than a child. That's what selfishness is. What can Josiah do for anybody less than 2 years old? He gets his bottom wiped, washed, padded, and powdered. And covered up with something fresh. He gets his nose blown for himself. He gets washed. He gets bathed. He gets dressed. Somebody buys the clothes, washes the clothes, and puts them on him. Doesn't have to worry about where his next meal comes from. If you were to put him out on the side of the road, just go up so far and put him on the side of the road and keep going, he couldn't survive. He'd die. If he wasn't picked up by somebody, and taken care of. That's what I'm saying, when you have to be served. But somebody that's in a greater position than him, they make sure he's fed and all of the above things are done. And they serve him. Would to God that we understand that as a servant, it means we do for each other. This man is serving Abraham and he is gone. Don't you think he'd have been more comfortable to stay where he is, where he was? 500 miles he got to travel. Loaded down with stuff. Going to a place trying to get a mate for somebody. I submit to you that there's probably something else he'd much rather have been doing at that time. But he was a servant. And this is the woman that he picked. He said, I pray. Ask him. I pray, whoever I give, I ask for some water, just for myself, that the person kindly will be kind not only to me, but to my animals. And said, with this kind of kindness, with this kind of thing, I'll assume, I'll believe that this is the one that you have sent for me. So the next verse says, and it came to pass, no, 14 is saying it came to pass. I'm ahead of myself. From 14, and let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I say, let her put down her pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and give your camels drink also. Let it be the same that thou hast appointed. Do you know sometimes we ask God for signs like that, and then when God does it, well, Lord, was that you? Can you give me another one? You ever had that happen before? You're like, well, I'm not sure. God is not going to be jumping through hoops like the lion at the circus. But look at the criteria that the man looked for. And I think that's very important. 15 says, and it came to pass before he had got through speaking or got done speaking, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abram's brother. This is Bethuel. The son of Milcah, the wife of Abram's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Here's the woman coming out to work, and she's got the pitcher on her shoulder to draw water. And the damsel was very fair to look at. Do you know what that means, Naomi, very fair to look at? That means she was beautiful. She was good looking. When you looked at her, she was so nice looking. So now we look at chapter 24, verse 16. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Lord Jesus. Neither had known any man, or neither had any man known her. That means if you don't understand what a virgin means, there has never been any man that has laid down, you know, because sometimes that word might sound like I'm saying lying. So that means no man has been with her in a carnival way, conjugating a relationship. Thank you. And it said, y'all laughing at me. Because there's so many ways people say it now that's distasteful. And it says, no man had known her, and she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And it says, and the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of that pitcher. Now, I read somewhere, I don't know who the commentator was, because it's an assortment, and I had not paid attention to this, but he did. I'm going to give it to you free. The way he said it is that he saw how beautiful she was and he went to go select her. I won't go there, but I will say he didn't go and try to find the ugliest one. He did look and saw one that was good looking and went to her first. It gave her first opportunity. Now that makes good sense, though, doesn't it? When you want something for yourself, if you want something for somebody else, you don't have to go and say, well, I want the raggediest car. I want the one that's smoking. I want the one that we're barely making because I think this is all the Lord will give me. You can look to see if the Lord will allow you to have what you want, and if not, then you take what he provides for you. Don't be too above what he provides. But you don't go and say, well, that's all I get, because there is a parable that talks about people, is a parable of the money, where one man, they agreed early to work for a denarius or a penny. At the end of the day, the other people got paid the same thing, and it only worked about an hour. Those that had worked all day were upset. I said, but that's what you agreed to. Now take what you agreed to and be gone. Some of us have agreed to it like, I don't want a college education. Some of us have agreed to, I don't want to work for this kind of job. I don't want to have a job in politics. I don't want to have this kind of job. I don't want to have this much education. Some of us have agreed to, I'd rather do pest control, or I'd rather be a teacher. Well, at the end of your life, when you roll back your scenes, and you say, well, I don't really like where I am. That's what you agreed to. You may not have sat down and agreed to it, but I promise you, every decision that we make, most of the time is not forced on us. We are agreeing to what our life will be. Well, the man went out to the good-looking woman, and it says, and the servant ran out to meet him in verse 17. Now, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. This is not something lightweight now. Let's look at what she's gone through. Did any of you all have to draw water in the olden days from a well? I see some people back there that have gone through that. If you got a certain amount of water you got to bring back, and you've gone somewhere to get it, and you stop and give somebody some of that water, and if enough of that water is gone, you got to go fill back up. Am I right? That makes your job a little harder. Here this woman takes it off. Once you get some up on your shoulder, you got it in the proper place to make it low. Now you got to take it down and give this man water. He's not even, come on, I'll pay you. Kindness. And the woman was willing to serve. Some of us aren't willing to serve our mates. Some of us are not willing to serve our children. We feel like we give them something to eat. And what do you mean, ask me to give you some water? What do you mean, ask me to so-and-so? What do you mean? I remember one time Ann had to get on to me about something. I said, Ann, those boys are big. Let them do such and such. I can do something for them if I want to. I can do that. I want to do that. I shut my mouth. Just in case you're concerned what it was taking them to school and I felt they could ride the bus. I want to take them. I want to share that time with them. How could I argue with that and be intelligent at the same time? I couldn't do it. But anyway, it says, and when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels, and also until they have done drinking. Do you know how much work that must be? Does anybody know anything about a camel? Do you all know they have two humps, most of them, right? Do you all know that they can store large quantities of water inside those humps or somewhere in there? I may be wrong about storing it, but I was reading, not for this class, but I've read and I think I either saw something on TV where they can store large quantities of water. And it doesn't say that this man helped her. It says she gave him drink, and when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels. Not just one. Also until they have done drinking. Any of you farm people, can an animal drink a lot of water? I'm not talking about a camel, a horse, or a cow. I don't know. But in my mind, I cannot imagine them just taking, like, you know, something that I can't hardly drink 8 ounces of water. I can't drink 8 glasses of water a day. I can't do it. I just barely do good to drink 2. I don't think the camel has that problem. And the Bible says she did this. There are some men that is that woman, a woman like that was around today, and they were looking for a wife. If she didn't look beautiful, they would look past her and get one that they call beautiful, that may not know how to cook, how to clean, don't know how to serve, and has been treated like a prima donna and act like she feels like she's Josiah. You do everything for me, and you just be glad that I'm your wife. And that's the one they pick because they think other people look at her and be jealous. I wouldn't. I look at you and I just feel how sad you must feel on the inside when you have no one to help you. None. Well, the Word of God said, as she hasted and emptied her pitcher to the trough, and ran again to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Now you imagine you don't have we have a spigot or something we can turn or a hole we can put in the trough. She got to go and draw it. We're not talking about with a pencil. You got maybe like a rope or something, and you let this thing down in the water. I guess the weight of it will go through the top layer of the water and go down into it, and then you pull it up, and then it's full of water. And somewhere you collect it, and you pick it up, and you walk and dump it. So this can't be a weakling woman, because if it was somebody that has osteoarthritis, they do good to get enough to drink. Am I right? And she goes and, can you imagine you pouring it in the trough? You have camels there drinking. When you get back, it's probably about empty. And it says, and the man wondering held his peace. He's not even saying thank you to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camel had done drinking, the man took a golden earring, a half shekel of weight. Notice the blessing that came upon her because of who she was, her kindness, her hospitality. She didn't know the man was going to pay her. I'm sure he didn't look broke. You got camels laden down with stuff, but you didn't know you were going to get any. And you surely didn't realize that one day you would be on all of it. Woo! Glory to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just because you weren't with us before, Andrew, this man that he's coming to select the bride for, his name is Isaac. And Abraham owns all of the stuff this man has bought. And so Abraham is trying to get Isaac a wife so that when he dies and owns everything that he has, he'll get the right one. So this woman has no clue. This man hasn't told her who he is yet. Lord have mercy. Gary, can I use that again? Your word, when I need it. And it says, and it came to pass as the camels had done drinking, the man took a golden earring. And some say that earring is not necessarily an earring, but a nose ring, because the word is nesim. And they would wear nose rings, okay? And I don't know why they put earring here, but when you can look and see what the word really is and look up the definition, sometimes when people translate, they put what is customary in their culture. So it says he took the golden earring of a half a shekel of weight. That's a lot. And 2 bracelets for her hands, 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" Because they did hospitality there. And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the daughter of Milcah, who she had born to Nahor." If this was Eleazar, he probably knew exactly who that was. Probably had never seen her, but knew who Nahor was. She said, "Moreover, we have both straw and provender, that's food enough, and room to lodge in." And the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. When the Lord answers our prayer, do we just kind of tacitly make a note of it? Or do we really just thank him for doing what he did, how he opened it up for us? Do you see the type of woman that he's picking for Isaac? Do you see the type of woman that can be a benefit and a help to him? Do you see the type of woman that God is directing this man to take the place of Sarah in the life of Isaac? And I submit to you that if the Lord were allow us, or if the culture was allow us, or even break it down to our children, would allow us to pick a mate for them, would we do as well? What would be our criteria? If there was one of value, would we pick somebody of value, even if that person didn't have the degree or the big job, or the one that has the big job and has not the value? It's quite superficial. Well, I at least want my son to have something. I want my daughter to have something. What are we going to select? Well, it says the damsel ran and told them of her mother, and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. Hold that in your mind. This is the introduction to Laban. Laban will be a prominent person in the rest of these chapters, for about the next 10 chapters. Laban is going to be very prominent. So this is Rebekah's brother, Laban. And I like the way that these things are written, where they kind of bring and weave these people in. And it says, Laban ran out to meet the man. I want you to understand something. If Laban has ran out to meet the man, this woman got gold bracelets on her arm, 10 shekels of weight that she didn't have before, got a gold nose ring, half shekel, and she's coming all excited. Don't you think Laban knows that somebody out here with something? Now, I can say that because I know what kind of man Laban is. Well, it says, and when it came to pass, he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hand. When he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, "Thus spoke the man unto me," that he came and said unto the man, "Behold," let me read it again. "And Rebekah saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, 'Come in, thou blessed of the Lord.'" What has this man done that you can think of right now that would make you know he's blessed of the Lord? But isn't there a lot of us in this world, if somebody has money or they have a nice car, they dress well, we think they're blessed of the Lord? But I think if we had been living during the time of Al Capone and saw him dressed, there are some people, I used to see the one they called Teflon Don dressed. I've seen a lot of people dress well, drive fancy and magnificent cars. Does that mean they're blessed of the Lord? You think about it. I won't even decide for you. And it says, and he said to him, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." And the man came into the house, and he ungirded the camel. That means he loosed the camels and gave them straw and provender for the camel, and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with them. And they set meat before him to eat. But he said, listen to this. "I will not eat until I have told thee of mine error." Man, error, that's errand. Ah. And he said, "Speak on." Huh? I don't think it'll pick up. And it says, here's the thing that I want you to see in this particular part. The man is showing the hospitality. The man is treating him in such a way that they would do in those days. So we've gone through the book of Judges, and we've seen what inhospitality is like. If you've forgotten, go back sometime and read Judges 19. So this man is given food for the animals. The man is given food for him, and he's going to sit down and have the feast. But this man is sent on a mission from Abraham. And he says, I'm not going to eat anything until I have completed my mission. I want you to understand something. When Jesus was on the earth, he had sent his disciples to get some food, John chapter 4. And they came back. And when they came back, they saw him. And they said, eat, master. And he says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And they want to know, who gave him something to eat? Who has spoiled Jesus' appetite? We'll go all the way to get some food. Now he don't want to eat. We just trying to do what he want done. And Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. We just going through Hebrews. Bible said, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. And it talks about how he was made perfect. I submit to you that this is a picture right here that we can apply to Christ and that we should be able to apply to our life. This man said, I ain't going to eat. I got meat to eat that you don't know nothing about. I got a job to do. I was sent here on an errand, not an error. As I formerly stated, on an errand. How can I sit down here and eat when I got a job to do and I have sworn to my master and I've seen what kind of master that I have, that God is with him. Tell him where you get that God is with him. He's prayed to this man's God. So he says, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord has blessed my master greatly. Now I want you to see this because this reminds me of something that Ann was teaching me one day. She ran. And it's so magnificently wonderful and wonderfully magnificent. It says, and the Lord has blessed my master greatly and has become great and has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my wife's master, bore a son to my master when she was old, and unto him have given him all that he hath.
He says, Sarah, my wife's master.
And Sarah, my master's wife, thank you. She was both. She called him Lord, but thank you for straightening that out. And has given him all that he hath. And my master made me swear, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of the Canaanite in whose land I dwell. Let me bring you to where I was making that. I want you to see how great this man is making Abraham sound. You know, it's okay, you got a little flock. Remember how they talked to David when David went out there and Jesse sent him out to get some food? Not to get some food, but take his brother some food. And they said, why don't you out there with those little few sheep? What you get back there with those little sheep? Why you out here meddling, boy? Why you worry about what Goliath's saying? And they tried to downplay it. This man has built up Abraham, Andrew. He's got the gold and the silver. So he's got the bling, as you all call it. He's got camels. He's got sheep. He's got herds. He's got flocks. He's got slaves, men servants. He's got women servants. He's big. He's big time. And now he's old. And he's going to give everything he has to my master's son, to his son Isaac, that Sarah bore him. You should know about Sarah. You all should know Sarah was barren. Now she had a son when she's old. I want you to understand this man's credibility. This man, what he's trying to request, he's basing it on the strength of the father of Isaac. I submit to you that when Jesus came, he would tell the people about the Father. He would declare about the Father. He would tell how the Father was. In my Father's house are many. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus told me in John chapter 5, my Father raised the dead. He's given it to me to be able to raise the dead. He says, my Father is greater than all. And yet, when he comes, he exercises the prerogative of the Father. The Holy Spirit comes. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He testifies of Jesus, of his greatness. He will not speak of himself. And I submit to you that Jesus has what the Father has. Just like in the case with Isaac, the man is saying everything that the Father has, he's given to the Son. I submit to you that the Holy Spirit is telling us, he said, look, this is what the Son has. The Son is the brightness of his glory. The Son is the radiance of his light. And you don't want to be joined with the Son? If we don't want to be joined to the Son of the Father, we don't have as much sense as Rebecca had. And that was earthly. Read some more of this sweeted word of God, Tim. Verse 38 says, but thou shalt go unto my father. I need to go back to 37 to tie it. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of my son of the daughters of the Canaanite in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure, perhaps the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Now you see why he had the confidence. Now you see why he prays to God in the behalf of Abraham, because Abraham has told him this is what God would do. How did Abraham know that? We don't know. I don't believe the Bible tells us every time God talked to Abraham. I don't believe it. It never said it did, and it didn't say that it didn't. Why can't I believe that he talked to him more? You can argue with me if you want to, but Abraham was at least right. He was led in the way that he went. Then verse 41 says, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from all my oath. So he wasn't unreasonable. 42. And I came this day unto the well, and I said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way, which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. It shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh, I want to just stop right there when it says when the virgins cometh forth to draw water. You cannot just do that in this culture today. You just go see young women, marry, engage, and just say, well, they're virgins. You just can't do it. You can't see a lot of young boys out and say, you know, those are chaste virgin boys. You can't do that nowadays. You would almost have to have a doctor now. Is this really a virgin? And with some of the folly they do now, they might be a virgin insofar as not laid carnally so they can get pregnant, but they can engage in other activities. Culture was different. And he says, when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, I say, give me, I pray thee, a little water from of that pitcher to drink. And she saith unto me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy cattle. Let the same woman whom the Lord hath appointed for my master's son, just let that be the same one. And it says, and before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down to the well and drew water. And drew water, and I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste, and let down her pitcher from her shoulder, and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. Let me explain this. Naomi, have you understood what I was saying up until now? Let me help you. So this man is going, you remember Abraham has a son called Isaac, right? Now he's a grown man. Grown. Probably old as your daddy. But he doesn't have a wife. And his mama died. And his daddy wants him to have children. You see how, like you have a daddy, and your daddy didn't have children before you were born? He didn't have children. And his daddy wanted him to have children so that his children could have children. You understand that, don't you? Because I'm not used to telling all these things to 5 years old or six? Are you six yet? Still five. Okay. So, this servant goes with the camel a long way. A long way. Three, how far is Detroit from here? Almost as far as to Ohio from here. A long way. And he meets this woman that he's never seen. And they don't have running water. You know how you turn on the water in the house? They didn't have running water. They had to get the water out of a hole in the ground. And so the man asks her for some water. And he gets her some water and gives all the animals water. And so this is what she did. And so he says, this must be the one that the Lord wants me to bring back for Abraham's son to marry. Did you understand that? Very good. And what was her name? Rebecca. Can you say Rebecca?
Rebecca.
Okay. Now we can get back with the rest of what was going on. It says, and I said unto her, whose daughter art thou? And the daughter, and she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore him. And I put an earring on her face and bracelet on her hands. Where did he put the bracelets? Do you remember? On her wrist. Okay, you can call that the hands. And then it says, and I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. What he's saying in 5-year-old language is, Naomi, tell me if you're going to let me take her back to my master Abraham so his son can have a wife. Tell me yes or no. If you're going to do it, fine, let's do it. If not, tell me. If not, then I can go on about my business. I don't want to keep talking. Give me an answer.
Well, I think it is yes.
Okay, let's see if it's yes. Verse 51. Behold, I need to go back to 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee good or bad. We can't give an answer. 51. But Rebekah is here before thee. Take her and go. And let her be thy master's son. Yeah, read for me, Ann, because you're close enough that you can pick up.
Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken.
52.
And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth.
It's a lot of worshiping this man is doing. It's a lot of worshiping he's doing, bowing and giving God honor and glory. And this is for Abraham. It's not like he's getting this good-looking woman for himself. I mean, you know, because you think about this, Ann. The way old men are now, they'd have seen a young, beautiful woman. They'd have been trying, and you got all this stuff, too. You don't have to go back. Like, girl, you know, you real pretty. You know, you sure do seem real nice. What's your name anyway? You sure are pretty. I tell you the truth, you just nice to look at. Is you married? How old you say? How old you? You know, I'm single. I'm looking for myself a wife. But you know, in our culture, they'd be like, you know, the men are so wicked. They're like, you know, girl, I just, you know, you come hang out with me a little while. What'd it take for me to just be hang out with you just a little while? Mm-hmm. Don't look at me funny, because when we get to chapter 34, 35, 36, 37, I think it's either 34 or 37, we're going to find Judah does that with a woman and for a sheep. He didn't have any money on him. For a sheep, he was able to take a young woman and lay up with her. So don't think Tim is making it up as he go. Finish reading this for me, Ann.
And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious thing.
I really believe in something that I read that the way that Laban, he might have been able to tell what kind of person Laban was. So why would you have to give jewelry to Laban and give Laban stuff? Unless he was the head of the house and you were doing this as a dowry. But I want you to understand, he gave this woman, Rebecca, an earnest. He gave Rebecca a foretaste of what she was to be able to inherit. Oh, if we would just trust God and be willing to go with him and let him give us a foretaste of what there is for us to receive. The Holy Spirit comes on the behest of Jesus, on the behest of the Father, bringing gifts. Gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, gifts. And most people only want the one gift, the tongue. Some of them don't want the interpretation. Some of them don't want the helps, no. Some of them don't want the healing. Some of them don't want the discernment. Some of them don't want the knowledge. And even when you read in Romans chapter 12, you see there are 8, there's other gifts that he gives. Ministering, teaching, being of service to the people of God. He comes bearing gifts, miracles, and power. But some people, instead of wanting, now I want you all to feel this now. I'm getting ready to say something that I think is profound. Not just because I'm saying it, but because it's so sadly true. What if Rebecca had taken all the gifts and sent them away? You're not taking this back. I gave you the water. You ain't just going to come up here and take stuff. And all she got was the gifts. She would have missed out, right? How many people right now look for God for just the gifts and don't want him? How many? Have we ever looked for what gifts God could give us and not really want him? She could have took the gifts and never been a part of Isaac. I submit to you, the Holy Spirit can come, give you gift, and you can taste of the good word of God. You can taste of the powers of the world to come and turn your back on him. What Hebrews 6 say? Turn your back and forfeit on being one with the glorious, set aside, only Son of the Father. Read some more of this.
And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master.
Do you notice when Jesus finished the work he had to do, he was ready to go? He would keep saying, my hour is not yet, my hour is not yet, my hour is come. He was on a mission. Some of us live like we're not on a mission. Some of us just live day after day, year after year, and no progress is made, and we're getting older as we go. Do you all see that gray hair on my head? Even if I dye it, it's still gray. It's colored, but if you take the color out, I'm not throwing stones at anybody. I'm just saying, I'm older. If I had known that I was going to live to be this old and still be in this much health, I guarantee you I'd have made some better decisions. I try to help young people make better decisions. Keep living, keep sleeping, keep getting up, waking up, and all of a sudden, you're going to look different. You're going to be older, and you're going to be like, man, I could have, woulda, coulda. And it's often because we don't make the most of each day. This man got up in the morning, I got a job to do, and I'm going to do it. Look and see what the man tries to do. Read the next verse.
And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that, she shall go.
Well, what's the hurry? What's the hurry? You can do that tomorrow, after the next tomorrow, after the next tomorrow, too. We can do it sooner or later. You got gold. You've given us stuff. We're going to let her go. At least get a girl 10 days. Then that'll be the accepted time. After she's waited a while, thought it over some more. And after we've got a chance to say all our goodbyes and stuff and tell her what we want her to know when she goes. Let her, let's let this, have you ever in your life felt like, you know, the Lord really was trying to talk to you, and I need to really make some changes in my life. And it's like, well, you know, not today. If the Lord really want me to make some changes and do something, I'll do it later. I really will. I see the value in it, but not right now. And you wait. And you wait. And after a while, the thing that you could have done has been done by someone else. Read some more, please, Anne.
And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master.
You know, if the Lord would bless us, each of us with a specialized knowledge of when we have done all that he wants us to do at a place, and it's time for us to leave, that would be an awesome blessing. But with that blessing comes the responsibility. Will you still leave then? Have you ever tried to counsel somebody and help somebody past the point where you realize that this is not doing any good? Now, by the time you realize it, do you think that was the first time that it wasn't doing any good? Because I know I've talked to people many times longer than I should. Longer than I should. And because of that, sometimes you begin to irritate them. Read on, please.
And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will.
Question. Naomi, do you understand what has happened up to now? They've asked her, they've talked about it. He's given presents to the mommy and the daddy and the lady. And she's going, and they told her to go on and go with this man, to go back and marry Isaac, okay? And now they're asking her, and she said, I will go. Will you go with the man? She said, I will go. Now I'm going to ask the question to the grown people. How many of us will tell the Lord if he asks us to go with us today, to go with him today, say, I will go? How many want to wait? If the Lord would take you today, right now, and take you to heaven, and so he can bring you back, whenever he comes to judge the earth and you can live with him forever, would you be willing to go today? But you'd have to die in this body today. Would you be willing? If he came and told you, let's go. What if he told you, you can go with me, but you got to follow me and follow my word until you die, and then you get to go with me? Would you say, well, you know, since you're not taking me right now, that's a long time, and I'm going to be bored. I'm going to be tired. I got things I got to do. Isn't that the way it really is? The Holy Spirit comes, gives us God's word, try to pull at our heart, and say, will you go? And what do we say? Well, you know, 10 days is mighty short. Let me wait till I get 30. Y'all ready to get to 30? Let me wait till I get about 40. Get 40. Let me wait till I retire. Wait till I get... wait till my check get a little bigger where I can travel. I submit to you that this is truly a picture of what it is to be drawn by God to his son. And I submit to you that this was the accepted time. This was the day for her. Because the man said, I got something to do. And I don't know if when the man told them that, you know what, if you don't let me go right now, well, God has prospered me and I need to go now. I don't know if the man would have taken it as if you all are delaying. And I'm already relieved of this oath. I don't know. I don't know how long he would have been, but I'm telling you now, I believe the Holy Spirit has come to us more times than we realize to get us to come to the Son. And often we've rejected. And God knows, and if you need to get up, you can. And there are times that when the Son has come to us and tried to draw us, and what do we do? Other things were more important. It's going to cost us. I'm not talking about eternal life all the time. Sometimes when the Lord is trying to draw you into his word, trying to draw you into consecration, and you don't do it, when something that happens out of the ordinary or bad, and you get disturbed, you can't handle it. You can't handle stuff because you don't have an anchor. When you don't have an anchor, your ship is just like that all over the ocean, just everywhere. Just like a piece of paper you drop from a house. You just drop it. You don't know. It's not going to land flat. Not a notebook piece of paper is going to flutter. But when you put a tarp on a house and you tie that tarp with twine with heavy rocks, you know that that thing is not going to blow off because it's anchored. And that's what's important about coming to the Lord when he's calling you, whether it's in his word, consecration, or prayer. I believe he gives you time and things for you to be prepared so that when stuff happens, you can handle it. Please read some more of that sweeted word.
And they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them.
I want you all to take a just kind of jump ahead in the future. Do you notice that it said, let her seed possess the gate or the seat of judgment or the place where entry in and out would take place? Let her seed possess the gate of them that hate thee. Now you all remember that when those that are saying this is the family. A few years after this, one of Isaac's sons is going to go back to this land. And he's going to come to get a wife. And he's going to be tricked. And before he leaves, almost all of this man's possession, Laban, is going to be taken. This, to me, when I was reading this, I was like, wow, it happened. It happened. It really happened. Because Laban is going to hate Jacob. Mm-hmm. It's going to be so bad, Andrew, when the man's going to come to get him, and God's going to tell him in a dream, you pay attention to what you do to Jacob. Don't you even say anything to him, good or bad. Don't bother them. Now you imagine if somebody has made you angry and they've done something that you feel that you deserve to go upside their head, or you deserve to do something to them, and while you're dreaming, just as sure as you know it's God, your heart beating and you're sweating and you hear this, don't touch him. He's mine. I'm going to deal with him myself. You better not lay a hand on him. You better not even look at him hard. And you wake up and your heart beating fast. And you know God has told you this. Do you think you'd mess with that person anyway? Imagine. Now see, God did that to Abimelech, right? You're a dead man. And what I'm saying to you is, they asked for this to happen. They said this. And God fulfilled it so much so that you didn't see that Jacob had this kind of power. Because he's going to have to serve this man about 21 years. And when he leaves out with his substance, his son's going to say, he took all we got. He took everything. And he's coming to call himself going to deal with Jacob, which is the son of Rebekah. And God's going to say, don't you say nothing to him. Everything he got, this is not Andrew. When he tells about saying that they don't bother him, everything he got, I wanted him to have it. Now, as the young people say, what? What? Read on, Drew.
And Rebecca arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebecca and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahai Roa, for he dwelt in the south country.
So the man is taking the woman. The Holy Spirit wants to take us and baptize us into Christ according to Romans chapter 6. Make us be one with Him. Are we willing to go? Christ wants to take us and present us before the Father. See, the Father gets the bride and the Son gets the kingdom. And in according to the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, the Son presents the kingdom to the Father. This thing is magnificent. But the Father and the Son come to earth to dwell, and we're with Him. We don't stay in heaven. No. If you stayed in heaven, why did New Jerusalem come down from heaven to the earth? And why is the Son and the Father there? You think the Father has no role? His joy is that the Son has us. But the kingdom is given back to the Father. And the Son reigns as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and still Prince of the Father. Please read some more of the sweet word of God.
And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming.
And Isaac went out in the field to meditate. I don't know what he went out to meditate about. Some say that means he was pious and close to God. I can't make it be that, but maybe he really was. I don't know. But I know his mama died. And that's the only mama he had. And this is the woman that put Ishmael out for him. And she was old when she had him. I have watched even my daddy get soft. And as he gotten older, hugging and kissing and rocking babies, and you know, it's like, not saying he ain't ever knew how to do that, but Jelly had him wrapped. He couldn't open those two fingers. It was wrapped too tight. Now imagine you've been wanting a baby for about 100 years. Now you got one, and you don't think babies don't? I mean, babies and grow up loving to be kissed and held and hugged, and everything they did for him, they didn't have to worry for money. But it says the word meditate, which is suak. It means to muse or to commune or to complain. So they may have a point that he went out meditate with the Lord. My thoughts are it could have been also about his mom. But it didn't mean it couldn't be to the Lord about losing his mom. But I'm not going to tell you he was out there, you know, getting deep with God. I don't know. But I would say that it's a thought. Please read.
And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel.
Now, what could have been, this is only conjecture. Only conjecture. When that man prayed before he got through praying, Here's Rebekah. Isaac is out here ruminating, thinking about something, meditating. If he were praying, if he were thinking about the loss of his mom, before he got through doing that, here comes Rebecca. Now, I don't know if he knew that the Father had sent this man to get a wife. I don't know. I don't know if it was hidden. I would think that he did. Do you know if he did or not? I don't know. But I can guarantee you the Lord Jesus knows. That the Father is getting him one. Why do you say that? Because in John chapter 6:44, no man can come to me unless the Father which sent me draw him. And John chapter 6, do me a favor, go to John 6:37, and you just have to read it loudly till I bring you a microphone. And finish reading this for me, please.
And she had said unto the... Go or back, she had,
do 64 for me again, because I started talking.
And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself.
Mm-hmm.
And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. And she became his wife,
Kendrick.
And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death.
All right, I'm going to try to tie some things together. It said Isaac was comforted in his mother's death. That's what helps me to think he may have been thinking about his mother, or the loss of his mother, the loss of that stability. Now it's just me and Pop. Okay? Then you have him saying that the servant tells Isaac everything. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you think that he just told him that she came, that's not everything. Everything starts with that your father decided that he wanted you to have a wife. Mm-hmm. Your father made me stick my hand up under his thigh and touch her and swear on your seed. Why would you bring that up, Tim? You just want to talk about that, don't you? You just want to talk about this man holding this man in a way that you don't think is nice. But I submit to you that if this is the story that he's told, that this would have a lot of weight. That this is the woman that I'm bringing to you, that your father made me swear by your seed, by his seed, you're his seed. This is what he wants. And I'm only following and carrying it out. And I went all these miles. Your father did not want you to go back there at all, ever. Your father didn't want you to marry any of these women around here. And man, I loaded all this stuff up. Man, we got tired. It was hard. We took a lot of people like a caravan. And when I got there, let me tell you about this woman. Because he hadn't seen her yet. I mean, you remember she covered her face? And when I saw her, oh, she was pretty. Isaac, that girl is fair to look at. I'm telling you know how your mama was fair to look at? I got you a good one. I mean, that, look, God sent his angel, sent me, he got you a good, and she's nice. She's kind, she gave me water, and she watered the camels, so he didn't get you one sickly. Oh, she's going to be robust. You can have one that can have children for you. And she's come for you. So he told all that had happened. And he told Isaac these things. And when Isaac heard that, and saying, this is the one whom the Father has brought for me, prepared for me, selected for me, and God's angel has selected and made all of this stuff that you would think wouldn't work out. He took her to his mother's tent. Now, as I was young, that bothered me. Why would you want to take a woman to your mama's house to, let me use the euphemism, make love to, or consummate your marriage with? But as I began to understand a little more about the culture, Abraham would be out a lot working. Cattle, different places. She could have her own tent that she could have, as well as still, you know, they still be married. Don't mean they separate, but remember, you got a different culture. But who was to be the mother of all? Who was supposed to be the blessed? Who was the one that the seed that would inherit the gates? Who was supposed to be the mother of the one that Messiah, that Jesus would come through? Who was supposed to be the mother that everybody would be blessed through? Sarah. And he brought her to his mother's tent. That's the significance of that. You're in the place of my mom now. Not in the sense that you're going to be my mama, but in the sense that you are the one that God is going to use to bring out this promise. And so he took her to his tent, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and he was comforted in his mother's death. This makes a lot of sense, because you're going to find that when we go through the life of Jacob, Jacob is going to be tricked and given the wrong wife when he's drunk, and he's going to consummate his marriage, and he's going to hate her. Because that's not who I want. I don't want this girl with these eyes like this. Bible says she had different kind of eyes. I don't want a girl with weak eye. It would have said she had a weak eye. Something like, and you know, we might not call it weak. We might call it cock-eyed, cross-eyed, lazy eye, whatever. But I can guarantee you by the end of his life, he chooses to be buried by her instead of to be buried by Rachel. the significance of all this passage, that's a lot of verses, 67 verses, that talk about this man and the way God prepares to get this man married. I tell you what, if you look at the Bible, it's showing God's preparation to get his son a wife, the bride of Christ. Are we ready to go? Are we willing to go? He's got everything that the Father has, but it's just we don't see it. Maybe if he gave us some bracelets, maybe if he gave us some rings, because it doesn't seem like giving us life, health, and strength is enough. It doesn't seem like giving us the wisdom to overcome obstacles are enough. But I think that the time should come that we as the children of God get our mindset that God is preparing something for his son. Do you want to be a part of it? No other woman on the planet got that benefit of being his wife. No one else gets the opportunity to be the very one that's tied with the Son of God, who has the Father as the one that they serve, who they honor, than us. Nobody. It's on us if we want it. If we don't want it, you won't be a part of the blessed family. And not being a part of the blessed family means invariably you're going to be lost forever. It's our choice. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. I ask you to help us to realize you're preparing something for your son, and we can be a part of it. It's your desire for us to be a part of it. Help us, I pray, in the blessing of your holy child, Jesus. Amen, amen, and even so, amen.